I'm Cyndi Lauper with fellow Cosentyx advocate, Chef Michelle Bernstein.
We'll share our experiences with plaque psoriasis, with psoriatic arthritis, and Dr. Panico will talk about the possible connection.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. It may lower your ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com/Cyndi.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to the final UFC Unfiltered of the year. It's our final one of 2023.
Oh, my God.
We have to recap a little bit, Matt. A good show, too. We have MMA journalist Kevin Ioli, who I like very much, and he's really he's great. He knows so much about the sport. I love these guys that have been around for 15, 17, 20 years. Yes. And Michael Irvin, of course, will be joining us in a little while. Last time it got screwed up because of Michael's schedule. So,
well, I'm excited. Last show of the year. Let's delve right in.
Let's bring Kevin in. And
yes.
Talk about, because you have to have somebody who really knows what they're talking about. Whereas we fuck up the names all the time. I mean, we don't know how to pronounce things. We're idiots. Welcome, Kevin, to the show.
Hey, technology.
Yes. Perfect. We have a lot to talk about. We have to talk about, is this just the nominees for the Fighter of the Year? And
yeah, there's suggestions.
Who else would know more than me and you and Jim, right?
Well,
that's a great point, Kevin. Thank you.
Knowledge, and I think we're going to win. But let me ask you: Is there any like? It's just up for a debate. Is that what we're doing right here?
I think do a debate, talk about it, give our picks, who we think. Right? I think it's pretty easy, right?
I'm with you, Kevin. Let's effing go.
It's very hard to avoid recency bias too, of all of the fights in December. You know what I mean? You want to just go back. Oh, that fight happened a week ago. That's right. That was knockout of the, Josh Emmett's knockout of Bryce Mitchell, which still might be it. But I mean, it's like, well, it just happened. So it's fresh in my mind. But you have to go back over the whole year, which can be kind of, difficult to remember some of the early
fights. How many fights did we watch, right?
Yeah. Right. I guess we could start with, I'll just go by the list they gave us. Yes. Which one do you think you want to start with, guys? Do you want to start with fight of the year? Do you want to start with... they have category, they have male and female fights of the year. This is the order. We have male and female fights of the year, fighters of the year, breakthrough fighter of the year, upset of the year, knockout of the year, sub of the year, comeback of the year, if we can get to all of them before Michael Irvin.
Let's go.
Let's start with fights of the year, what we think was the fights of the of 2023. There's a lot of great ones to go over. I'll ask you guys to start. Matt, Kevin, what do you guys think?
Go ahead, Matt.
Hi, Kevin.
Well, in my mind, I mean, I think there's a clear leader here, but you got a lot of really good fights. You know, the Edson Barboza, Sadiq Youssef fight, that to me was like a wild fight. And I remember watching that thinking, I went into that fight thinking this might be the end of Edson Barboza, right? And he's almost knocked out in the first round. And all then right. He comes back. And I mean, the swing of emotion in that fight and the momentum changes and everything, you know, that fight had to be on the list. Of course, you know, how could we have a fight of the year? Maybe we should change the name of the fight of the year to the Justin Gaethje fight of the year. But, you know, Gaethje's nominee this year, I guess, would be his fight with Fazeev. And, you know, that was an incredible bout. You know, Dan Hooker and Jalen Turner, another fight. That was one I had on my betting picks. That was the only fight I lost on that card. I went against Dan. That was a bad one. Pantoja and Brandon Moreno, you know, Pantoja and Moreno, crazy good fights. But I think for me, considering the level is Makhachev versus Volkanovski, their first fight, the level they fought at, the just everything that they did in that fight, to me, that encapsulates what I want to see in a fight of the year.
You're going with Islam versus Volkanovski one.
The first one, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why, because when you like, so let's look at, you know, some of these fights, you know, let's say Dan Hooker and Jalen Turner or Barboza and Youssef. I think you got to take the quality of opposition into effect too, right? So if you're Volkanovski, you're fighting a much better opposition. You know, you're fighting Makhachev, arguably the best fighter in the world, or Makhachev's fighting Volkanovski, arguably the best fighter in the world. It's hard to look good and hard to create offense against guys like that. So when it's close, and I say close, and I think it is close with some of these fights, you got to go with the better fighters. And I think in this case, Volkanovski and Makhachev put on an unbelievable fight with a lot of momentum swings, a lot of, you know, issues going on. And they're both two of the three best fighters in the world.
And what was on the line too, like the stakes, like there was something really big. I mean, right. For me, it was probably Gaethje Fazeev, just because I enjoyed that fight so much. I did not expect Gaethje to win that fight, and I was really happy he won that fight. So I personally enjoyed that fight the most, but the fight of the year probably should be Makhachev against Volkanovski one, because of what was on the line. And you're right. And plus the weight class, going up a weight class and no one expecting him to last and go the distance. Just an impressive and incredible fight. So that probably technically should get it, but I'm going to vote for Gaethje Fazeev just because I enjoyed it the most.
When I was looking at all these names, all these fights, I right away knew where I was going. And it is Islam Makhachev versus Volkanovski. That fight, listen, as far as excitement, any one of these fights, you could really kind of do a toss-up. Because they're all, that's what it is. That's when you watch it, as soon as it's done, oh my God, my best fight I've ever seen. Because that's how exciting each one of these, you know, they were. That's how exciting they was. But, with the Volkanovski versus Islam fight, it was the drama. It wasn't supposed to be so competitive. Everybody, I mean, including myself, I thought the way that Islam before that point was just getting everybody down, powerful guys like right. Drew Dober, just taking them down, Kimura and this guy, arm locking that guy, rear naked choke, head and arm choke with the Oliveira. I just thought everybody, I thought he was going to take him down and just overwhelm him. So as the fight was going on, it's like you couldn't believe what you were watching. And then the way it ended was so dramatic. I think that's my vote.
Yeah, yeah, it probably such a great fight from beginning to end, that you had the high drama in the fight, right? Yes. You know, I, even when the fight ended, hey, you have an argument. Volkanovski thought he won the fight, and he had an argument, right? Certainly the rematch, you know, quieted those who was the better fighter doubts. But at that moment, you know, you could have made a case for either guy. That to me, when you have a fight like that, that has so much action, and when it's over, you're not really sure who the better fighter was.
Yeah, and by the way, that rematch could actually almost qualify for knockout of the year too. I mean, that's definitely in the running for knockout of the year. And Matt, let's do submission of the year next.
Ooh.
There's some really interesting fights: Rakhmonov over Jeff Neal, or Black Shear against Johnson. Of course, Yair over Josh Emmett, Diego Lopes over Lopez over Gavin Tucker, and Renata. In fact, I can never say this guy's name. Fakhretdinov over Kevin Lee, the guillotine But I'm going to go with, of course, the one you, Matt is the only guy that called Jones Cyril Gane as a submission. I thought Jones would win the fight. I did not think he would sub him. I have to take that as submission of the year because it was first round. It was so decisive and Matt picked it.
Now there's something, thank you. First of all, I should actually pick that also. I almost have, I'm going, can I go off this list or is it?
Yeah,
is
there, yeah, yeah. These are just suggestions.
Well, this is what I'm thinking now. Like Shavkat, he just got a submission win over somebody that never got submitted.
Right.
In Wonder Boy. That should, that's, I listen, I don't give a shit if he's Wonder Man at this point. He's 40. I don't give a shit. He's still got submitted and he never got submitted.
And Shavkat was injured in that fight.
And yeah. Shavkat was injured. So the fact that Shavkat submitted Wonderboy, I think, is a big thing because Wonderboy he's been in the game a while. Nobody ever made him say uncle by tapping him out. So I'm going to say Shavkat for that.
The one that I'm going to go with probably surprise you guys, but I'm going to go with the twister by Blackshear. I mean, you rarely see any twisters, and the way he set that up and the way he pulled that off, I mean, to me, it was like phenomenal. And, you know, Matt, you may have a difference of opinion in terms of, you know, but how difficult that submission is to get. And he did it so effortlessly almost, right? And it was just, it was just incredible. And then comes back and does it again, right, the next week. But I just thought that twister was so amazing that I'm going to go there.
And it is a fun one to watch when they get that off, like when Bryce Mitchell gets it, or is that, you're like, wow,
right?
It is a cool looking one. You know what I mean?
Where they're all over the place.
Head going one way and body's going the other.
Yeah. And we shouldn't just be chauvinist. What do you think, female sub of the? I don't want to say it's obvious, but I kind of have my take on it.
My opinion, I'm with you. I think Valentina getting submitted by Alexa Grasso. I mean, yeah. Who saw that coming, right? And it was a great submission the way she did it. And what I loved about it was she puts the video out after the fight where she kind of worked on the back take and the whole nine yards. That was, I mean, you're beating arguably the greatest fighter of all time by submission at that point. Incredible, incredible win. And that has to be it.
I take Grasso too over Shevchenko. How about you, Matt?
It's hard to go anywhere and go pick any. Listen, I'm looking at all these, you know, Aaron Blanchfield taking out Andrade, and I mean, I'm looking at everybody here's submission, and it's so impressive. But you have to look who are they doing it to. You know what I mean? Submissions are awesome, and you know. You got to say, who are you making say uncle? Who are you tapping out? I just remember when Alexa Grasso released her rear naked choke, it almost looked like she had a suntan and like her face was all white from it. So I'm going with Alexa Grasso versus Shevchenko. Because come on, man, that was
we just, got a unanimous one there.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard. I mean, Blanchfield over Andrade was great, but I mean, it's Shevchenko getting submitted. No one saw that coming. I want to just kind of throw one in here, which I just thought of, and I don't see a list for it. I would love to know, what do you think was the robbery of the year? What do you think was, because the judging has gotten to become such a bigger part of fighting than it should be. And it frustrates me, and these people work so fucking hard, and they train so hard. Everyone makes an occasional mistake, but I mean egregious robbery. Jared Gordon. You also have, I feel Grasso in the rematch. That 10-8 round.
Patty, is that what you said?
Sorry?
What's that? Did you say Jared versus Patty?
Patty That's Pimblett. And also, or would you go with the draw in the rematch between Valentina and Alexa Grasso?
See, I wouldn't go with that one because you can make an argument for both ways. Like I had Valentina winning the fight, right? And I think that, but you can make an argument. Let me say one thing to defend the judges a little bit, right? I think that they're not as bad as they are portrayed. There's been some egregious mistakes over the years, But I think what happens is we in the media and as fans of the sport, you know, we're watching the fight, and unless you're working the corner, you know, whatever, you know, you're where you're totally focused on what's going on, but you also have a bias one particular way, you know, you're drinking a beer, you're eating popcorn, you're talking to your friend, you know, when things happen in the fight, and you're not watching the same, you know, way a judge is watching. And the thing that I always like to say is, you know, that we do this at press row all the time in fights, you know, how do you have it? How do you have it? And we're talking. And a lot of times we're in agreement, but also what you hear is that punch land, that kick land, whatever. We can't, you know, maybe we're blocked out by where we are, where the judges have the replay in front of them and they're right up against the cage and they're not blocked out. Sometimes they are by the referee or the fighters. So I'm having said that, I agree that we have some pretty bad mistakes.
I hope they fix that. I mean, it got so bad they were talking about open scoring. I think most people feel that way. I kind of had mixed feelings about it. A part of me wanted to know, just because this way guys go into the final round knowing where they stand. But didn't they try it in a couple of places? And it's the only
boxing, as far as I know, but never in MMA that I know.
Yeah, I thought they did.
Okay,
maybe. I think it'll be a shit show, and they shouldn't fuck with it. You want people. You want everybody waiting for them to read the card and to read the winner. Who's it going to? Which side is Bruce? Is Bruce standing behind the guy? Is he behind the winner? Who's it going to be? You want that. You don't want, all right, we know this is fucking ending. All right, let's just get the fuck out. Or he's not turning this around. He's already, how are us people bitching on the next round about not even why? How could they be giving that round to him? The judges already suck. I don't know.
Well, here's another thing that you have to remember in that case. So let's say the first round of a fight is close and it could go either way. And so two judges give it to fighter A, one judge gives it to fighter B. Now, the third judge that's on the wrong side, he might be saying, I better correct because I know those two are good judges. There are better judges and I want to be on board with them. And now all of a sudden he scores the next round differently than he might have otherwise because he saw, you know, he was on the wrong side. And so it opens the door to problems. I mean, it's not transparency. They're sitting there. We know what they're scoring in the fights. You know, their identities are not unknown. So it's not like we're hiding something, right? People think it's, you know, put sunlight on them. Well, there is sunlight on them, right? We know who they are. Their buffer announces them before the fight. We know who they are. It's in the media before the fight who were judging all these fights. So hey, I don't think that's, you know,
Oh, by the way, it has to be, this is how stupid I am. It has to be, Valentina. That has to be the most egregious. This is how dumb I am. December 2022 was when Jared fought Pimblett.
That was
I wasn't looking at the date when I said that like a dope. Oh. And my producer just told me how stupid I was. And he said,
it wasn't this year. It was
December of 2022.
We were all wrong.
We're doing a 365 day year though. So within 365 days, we're kind of close.
It was a winner.
Yeah.
I like what you think, Jim.
Yeah, what do you think of now? This is a pretty, pretty interesting one. We could go with upset of the year, which there were a couple of really, really big upsets. I think that's a fairly obvious one. Matt, I'll ask you and Kevin, what do you guys think?
Go ahead, Matt.
The upset of the year. Well, I think I'll say the upset of the year was, as long as the date is correct on it, was the first Alessa Grasso when she beat a. Valentina Shevchenko. I think that was huge.
For women's, yes. For the women, we would do women and men.
Oh, what do we do? Why do you always got to separate them?
Because that's just how they did it.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
Yeah.
I picked
it's very progressive of you, Matt.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
That's very progressive of you.
Thank you. With the female, I'm jumping ahead. I'm picking Alexa. And Listen, I don't know, man. I mean, people could say Sean Strickland, but I don't know. I was picking him to win. I thought he was going to win a different way, mind you. The way he won was way more impressive. I thought he was going to blend in the grappling. But you could say maybe was Grant Dawson – what was his record when Bobby Green beat him?
He had won like 20 in a row, I think, or something like that, yeah.
I'm going to say Bobby Green beating Grant Dawson.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I can't go with that one as much as I thought that I thought Grant Dawson's ready to take that step to the next level. And then Bobby Green, you know, knocks him out like the way he did. But the reason that you got to go with Strickland, even if you picked him to win, he won all five rounds. He won every minute of every round. It was not even close. Almost submitted him in the first round when he had his back. And it was just, you know, whereas a knockout, nobody gets lucky. You're throwing punches to hit somebody, right? But, you know, he landed that one big punch and was able to finish him, as opposed to taking a guy apart like a high-level guy like Adesanya. This, we're not talking about a, you know, we're talking about one of the best fighters in the world, and he took him apart for 25 minutes. I don't see how it can be that. On the women's side, of course, you know, Valentina losing – to me, that might be the story of the year. Yes. You know, when Amanda retired, we're anointing her as the greatest, and then boom, right off the bat, there she goes.
I agree with you on Strickland too. I'm never surprised when Bobby Green wins. Like, I mean, odds aside, like the way he fights, he's such a difficult fighter. I'm never shocked when he beats somebody. I was shocked that Turner beat him the way he did. But yeah, I would have to go with Sean Strickland too, because I think I took Izzy by decision. I didn't think he was going to knock Sean out. But for Sean to dismantle him for five rounds, a guy who moves so well and no one has been able to do that to, I think it was very clearly for me it was Sean Strickland. And our time is a little short, so yeah. I'm being shouted at that we should also Fighter of the Year. We have not done Fighter of the Year, have we?
Let's go. Let's go.
I'll let you guys start. Who you think was Fighter of the Year?
Well, if it's up to me, I think the two fighters of the year, I think we've talked about both of them a lot, and it's obvious. Alexa Grasso has to be the female Fighter of the Year, doing what she did. She survived two fights against Valentina Shevchenko, which in and of itself is saying a lot. She wins the championship, she defends the championship, and she looked brilliant in doing it. So she would be my female Fighter of the Year. And how do you go with anybody but Islam Makhachev? You go Volkanovski. Some people thought was the best fighter in the world going into the year, and he beats him twice, not once but twice, and in the second time, just unbelievably devastating fashion. So I think Islam Makhachev has, and that he has the long winning streak and everything, and he's been fighting unreal competition, and beating Volk twice in the same year is saying something, and it means something, and that, to me, that makes him Fighter of the Year.
I agree with, sorry, Jimmy.
That's okay.
I agree. I agree with Kevin on Alexa Grasso. I agree on that. I think for the male Fight of the Year, I'm going with Leon Edwards. He defeated Usman the first time, and everybody's like, all right. He pulled that out of his ass. He was losing. Wait till the rematch. Right. Beat him in the rematch. And then, oh, man, Kobe's overwhelming. What did that gas tank? And beat, just handed Kobe his ass. I'm going with Leon. Leon is, it's like that first fight just awakened the champion in him. And I'm going with Leon.
I thought of Leon, but it was an Usman rematch, and Covington was not that impressive. And again, you could say this because of what Leon did, but I thought Colby wasn't as impressive in that fight. He's just more of a figure that we all love to hate, so we kind of expect more out of him. But I didn't think he fought a great fight. I'm going to take Tom Aspinall. I'm taking Tom Aspinall because Aspinall, who again over Tybura, and I also think I maybe should have been considered for knockout of the year over Pavlovich, because Sergey hurt him in that first round, and I thought Sergey was—he looked like, you know, again, this invincible fighter. So I'm going to go with Tom Aspinall. I was very, very impressed with him dropping Sergey like that, especially after taking a tremendous shot where I thought he was going to be finished. So for me, it's Tom Aspinall.
Can I just say really quick? People are quick to point out how Colby didn't look great and this and that, and I agree. I thought he looked shitty, but a big part of that is who he was fighting.
Yes.
Listen, Bilal Muhammad, who does he not get a hold of when he fights? Pretty much everybody. He fights his way in. Look at his streak he's on. And he does the same thing to pretty much everybody. The fight, it didn't go through. And he gets stronger as it goes on, Bilal. But he wasn't getting to something was going on in there where, similar to Colby, where he wasn't finding his range and his rhythm all too easy.
Right. He wasn't getting to him. So it's, I mean, again, you could just say Kobe was inactive. He looked sloppy. He didn't look. Or when you're in there, and then and you look on top of that, how he fought Usman, especially the second time, there's something that should be said. Something should be said for what's going on, what Leon is doing to these guys. That's
I agree.
It's hard. You know, it's easy to, oh, well, Kobe, what do you call it, didn't look great. Usman, already, you know, he already beat him. Dude, something's going on. People cannot just get a hold of him and take him down and do what they want to do with him. So I don't know. I'm just going to say that.
You know, no, you're right. But I'm also looking at, like, Kobe looked – he looked bad beyond, I thought, what Leon was doing to him. Like when he was just, he just didn't look right as a fighter. I mean, we've seen him lose before, and I thought he looked better in other losses.
Was it 18 months off, do you think, maybe?
I think that definitely had something to do with it. Even he said that. But again, you everything he says, you take with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But on that one, I don't think it was a shock. I think the level of the beating he took was kind of surprising. And that to me was where Leon was so great. Except when Leon decided to wrestle with him, which I didn't really, I wish he hadn't done that. But look, he did it.
Are we letting Kevin go?
We'll wait a couple of minutes because Michael is not here yet. So,
So let me bring this up because we like to talk about different things here. And this person is taking a beating and I want to go to bat for him. Okay.
Oh, no.
Zack Snyder. Why are people attacking Zack Snyder over Rebel Moon? I don't know if you like science fiction at all, Kevin. I don't like Star Wars. Jimmy left us, Kevin. It's just us. He doesn't like Nightbird. He does that to me.
Great news, Matt. Guess who's in the waiting room?
All right, Kevin, I'm going to save you.
But Michael jumped in the waiting room.
Watch on Netflix. Watch Rebel Moon. It's like almost like an R-rated, even though like a Star Wars type movie. So good.
Thank you, Kevin. You were great. And please come back in the new year. KevinIoli.com. And he's launching a boxing and MMA podcast very soon. He's a really knowledgeable guy. Keep your eyes open early in January 2024. Thank you, Kevin.
See you guys. Thanks for having me.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
When I grow up, I'm going to be a vegetarian.
Veterinarian? It's awesome.
And I'm going to be what you said we need more of.
So you want to be a plumber-narian?
Do you think I can?
I think that if you work really hard, you can be anything.
Promise?
You bet I do.
When you promise your kids the world, we're here to help you keep it. Ohio's 529 plan is the best tax-free savings plan for future college or career training nationwide. Start now at collegeadvantage.com.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Let's bring in, I'm not going to say Michael Irvin. Let's bring in the great Michael Irvin, one of my favorite people.
I'm not going to bring up any of my movies that I like right now. I'll bring
I don't know what kind of movies
that Rebel Michael movie watches. A good movie. People are giving Zack Snyder shit. They're giving Zack Snyder shit over this movie, and it's basically the Magnificent Seven in space. Like, yeah. That's what it is. So why are they making him giving him such a hard time? All right, let's go to Michael Irvin.
There he is.
Legend.
Michael What's Irvin. Up, hello, sir. How are you?
I am well, guys. How are you guys?
Good.
Can I ask you, Michael, last time you were on, I've been trying to remember it and I can't, but I've thought of it a lot. You said something about, there was some acronym for toys, something of youth that you had heard, which
temptation
is
temptation of our youth.
Temptation was the word. Okay. Men like Temptations their toys.
Of our youth. Well, it comes from old sermon, Bishop Priest. It's boys in their toys. Whenever we get lost in a mess, we turn to our toys, whatever those toys may be. You know what I mean? Whatever the toys may be, women, alcohol, whatever it is, we turn to that thing we call our toys. So he titled it Boys in Their Toys. You know what I mean? I thought it was fascinating.
It is, and it made me, I collect posters like from when I was a kid. I'm 55. Is there any of that stuff that you did from like when you were a kid that you brought back when you were an adult and you had money and you could indulge the way you wanted to indulge in it? What, something you collected or anything like that?
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. Let me see. What would I say? You know, you're a kid growing up in areas I grew up in. You know, all of whatever hobbies you picked up, they all involved no money whatsoever. You know what I'm saying? So because you didn't have any money, nobody around you had money. So anything, you know, but you know, you go out and play. I go work out. I go out and play football, basketball at the park. All of those things, and that's really how you get as good as you get as an athlete. Because sports in the neighborhood, sports at the park, those sports were free. You can play those sports, you know what I mean? Then they start charging to play Little League football and all that stuff. But yeah, you can play for free over there in the park.
Michael, this is a saying that this is one that you dropped, I think, the last time you were on. And I think it's fascinating. And I want you to could you just elaborate on it? Right. If I attack a man's weakness, I can beat him. If I attack a man's strength,
I can break him.
Interesting, please. Sure.
The logic came as I studied football, as I studied guys that I had to play against. Since I was a bigger receiver, that meant, okay, some bigger guy, if I had a bigger guy, I was faster than him most of the time, quicker than him, I can outquick him. If I had a smaller guy, I could just muscle him, you know. But if I played you twice a year, that means you were in my division. And I'm going to play you all the time. I'm not just trying to beat you now. I'm trying to break you. I'm trying to break you for the next time I see you. I'm the last person you're going to want to see. You see what I mean? Yeah. So if I attack your strength, you have nowhere to go. You see, when I attack a bigger man's speed, he said, oh, he just outran me. He got me. But if I attack a bigger man's physicality, now where can he go? He says, man, this dude out physical me. I don't even want to play him again because that's his whole card. He says, if I can out physical, I'll get him. But when someone out physical him, he has nowhere to go. So yeah, I've always kept that in mind. If I'm going to see you again and again, I don't want to just beat you. I want to break you.
Can I ask, how would you know? Like, there must've been some way you would sense when you had that, like Bobby Fischer in chess said that he would like break a man's ego. Like, and he knew what happened. Let me tell
you, I run that five route, 17 back to 15 on a comeback, and I don't get the ball. And he'll turn and say, good route, man. Cause he knew he's beat. You know, hey, dude, I told you about all that after the game. That means you don't want no more. If you're capitulating, you don't want no more. You giving in. Don't say a word. That's the best thing you could do. And just stay stoic and ready. Let me tell you, it's so funny because, you know, the start of a game, I'd be violent, hitting people all across the head. I would turn around and walk back to the huddle. Like, I'm not, woo-woo-woo-woo. Because if I'm fired up, you think that's just a hype thing. But if I hit you in the mouth like that and turn around and walk back to the huddle, you're saying this joker crazy. He think he's going to hit me like that all day? You see what I mean? Now yeah. I'm in your head a different way. So that's why I like that kind. That's why I love the UFC. There's a lot of head games and head fights. I was listening to my man Kobe talk about after the fight, how he said he was hurt, but he didn't want to say anything in his corner. You know what I mean? Because now with social media and everything, people hear it and they start putting it out there. The other corner gets it right away. Now they know. They have information that you didn't want anyone to know. Kobe said he came back into this corner and he was hurt. He said, I just couldn't even say anything because I knew from previous fights what will happen. Yeah. And you know, because that confused me. Like, I know Kobe. I texted him before the fight. He's from Florida. He's a very good friend of mine. We hang out. I wanted to put something together for him after he won, you know, because I know he's had tried a few times at the belt. You know, and I text him. I say, hey, man, go bring that belt home for us, man, because he's from, you know, out of Fort Lauderdale with me. You know, we go out to eat and everything. I said, bring that belt home, buddy. He said, Champ, I appreciate you always reaching out, because I reach out to him before all the fights. But, man, he usually presses and presses and presses, and his cardio is insane. I was like, let's go. And I didn't see him pressing as much this time. So I kind of said, well, something must be going on.
What do you think about – oh, go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was going to think. I think what's going on was he was fighting Leon Edwards.
Yeah. Yeah, and
Leon Edwards is a legit problem. He goes with guys. Right. We were just talking about him, and I was talking about him as, like, the fighter of the year because beating Usman twice, and Usman is phenomenal. And at the first time, he was down 4 rounds. And they're like, all right, well
– that was a Hail Mary kick is what that was.
They can say that.
But that was a Hail Mary kick. Hail Mary full of break. Boom. Oh, the Lord is with thee. That's what he said. The Lord is with thee.
But then the second fight for him to be able to shut him down. And so it's like, and then when you look at fights when he fought Bilal Muhammad, who usually has a way of just managing the distance of closing it and getting guys down and beating them up, he had a hard time, even though it was a round and a half before an accidental eye poke. There's something that Leon does that just from the changing of stances to what's in his arsenal when he throws it, that throws off these guys that are wrestling based, you know? Yeah. And I think that's a big part of it.
And the whole surprise part was that Leon was taking Kobe down. I was shocked. I'm shocked Kobe didn't really take any shots at trying to get him down and everything like that. And then he took, like, what I saw, maybe one shot in there, But yeah, I was just a little shocked because I know Kobe. I knew how important this was. And this, you know, people talking about maybe where does he go from here if he doesn't win this time because he's had a few opportunities and everything. But yeah, I thought, and then all the things that were said prior to the fight, you know, I thought this was going to be a let's go kill each other no matter what. Somebody got to die fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What do you think, too? You said something interesting about the cameras in the corners. Like, you don't have cameras in huddles. You don't have cameras in baseball when a manager goes out to talk to the pitcher. And I know it's a part of the fight game, but you can need to say something to your coach, but you can't say it because the guy you're fighting will find out. Is there a way around that or a way to deal with that? Or is that just the nature of it?
You know, I didn't think about it until I heard Kobe talking about it. You know, like, man, you know, but you do know the TV thing. Like, I even in NFL games, I'm like, dude, they're playing the replay. How can you not throw the flag or throw the, you know, the challenge flag, you know, because you see things. So in the fight game now, you got people coming. There should be a place that they can have a moment. Or, I don't know, say, hey, the first 30 seconds, no cameras in the corner. Give them some time to discern that round before the rest of the world hear whatever strategy they want to play going forward. I think that's important, especially now, like Kobe said, the other corner's getting. We go back to your corner. You should have a moment to speak with your coach without the rest of the world hearing, and certainly not your opponent hearing.
Yeah, like Rachmanov in that Wonder Boy fight we just talked about was really hurt. And I mean, maybe they knew that, his corner knew that, but if he wanted to talk about that, he probably couldn't have, because he knew that camera was. Maybe there's a way to do that where there's no sound for the first 30 seconds in one corner and no sound for the last 30 seconds in the other corner. So TV can serve its need and film guys, you know, but they can also have privacy.
That's a great idea. You know, I'm sure at the tough part of BD Surdy, you know, you want to switch up. Let me get you the first 30. So maybe I'm free the first 30 seconds of all even rounds to speak how I want. You're free the first 30 seconds of all odd rounds. You see what I mean? Just some kind of way that you can get a chance to talk to your coach. You need that private time, especially in one-on-one battles. Okay, you got team sport. That's different. Team sport, you can't hear everything everybody's saying in a team sport. Yeah. But one-on-one fight, dude, it's crucial. What I gotta say, what I need to hear from my coaches is crucial.
I, as a fan, I like hearing the corner work.
Me too.
I love
Me
it.
Me too. But we ain't getting our hands busted in. We not getting our, I'm sitting here looking. I'm not the one getting my head busted in.
I love hearing those, because sometimes you have a good corner man, and then you see that connection and you see them, the fighter, be able to pull off what they said. Or like Leon Edwards in that the final round with his first fight with Usman.
You got it.
What are you doing? Stop feeling sorry for yourself.
Right. I love that.
You
want to see. You want to see what is a coach's job? I don't care what sport he in. His job is to reach down inside a kid and pull out that king. I want to hear how he did that. I want to see that too. You know what I mean? I want to hear that. I want to hear you say, we talked about this.
Yes.
This is the last moment. You got to get with you. You know what we said before when we went in? I'll share this with you guys. We went in that first NFC Championship game. I'll never forget it. Playing against San Francisco. They had beaten Dallas for a while. I went to every player in that locker room to dap them up before we went out. The motto I said, because this is our first time, you know, since the white clock caught the catch. And I was like, death before defeat. We would die before we lose here, before we leave here a loser. Death before defeat. I just kept saying that earlier. Death before defeat. Death before defeat. Death before we were not leaving there a loser. I want to hear somebody, I want to hear that corner man say, we talked about this. We would die before. Like, you watch, you see what Alessandro always talking about, the style business. He says that between every round. I'm the best of it. Prepare to die. Prepare. I love that stuff, dude. I love that stuff. My blood.
Yeah, that's why half and half is fair. So they could have their private moment, and then we could also hear. Because Matt, as you know, Matt is a very, very vocal coach, and people love watching you, Matt. They love watching you and Longo, the way you guys, your perfect timing, and you know, Rogan always talks about how great Matt is, and you give these precise, like somebody saying, "Hey, look, shoot for takedowns." Is different. I mean, if you're saying that to your guy, if you're saying that to Marab, chances are whoever he's fighting knows he's going to shoot for takedowns.
Right.
But it's the injury stuff I'm thinking of, or the stuff that really can't be known. Strategy in a moment, you know, hey, look, he's going to be trying to switch stances. Stuff like that they can hear. But it's the stuff that they shouldn't know, which I think is more injury-based, that they should give him half a quiet round. Hey, Michael, has anybody, you're talking about getting psyched up, and you psyched up people, and again, that San Francisco rivalry was just incredible as a fan to watch. What was the thing that got you hyped the most? Who was able to do that for you? If you weren't too sure, if you weren't feeling a certain way, who was able to get you to that place where you were like, we're winning this game?
Oh, my yesterday got me to where I needed to be. My yesterday, what I mean by that, my growing up, my history. Big E, I'll give it to you this way. Eric Williams came in the league, all pro left tackle.
Yeah.
Left tackle. He said to me, we were in the steam room. His rookie year, he just got here. He said, I said, what's up, big fella? He said, man, I gotta make the team. He was like, gotta make this team, man. I gotta take care of my mom. I said, big fella, that's the most important thing to you? He said, yes, take care of my mom. I said, well, that's all you need. You don't need nobody to say nothing to you. All you need is every time you line up, you look at that joker across from you, you say to yourself, dude, you're trying to stop me from feeding my mom? And then you buff his ass. That's what you do. You know what I mean? You gotta, hey, where was your greatest pain? You use that greatest pain to get to your greatest promise. He calls you live in that greatest pain. Every time I saw this dude, every time I saw a quarterback, I said, dude, I've been broke all my life. You trying to keep me broke? You out here trying to keep me broke. I'm gonna get you. You know what I mean? I made it personal. I made it direct, and I wanted it to be painful for anybody that stands in my way. I tell Big E that. I tell any player, what is your greatest pain? You put it on his ass. That's what you do. You lay it on him, because that's how you'll find your greatest promise, by living in that greatest pain and remembering you're not going back there and nobody's taking you back there. In our sport, let me tell you why that's different, why that's special and why it's different. In every other sport, and most of this world, most people get to the top of their game punching a computer or something like that, you know. In our sport, it requires hand-to-hand and man-to-man combat. So if you're just punching a computer, all you have to do is improve your skill, because the computer don't fight back. But in our sport, hand-to-hand, man-to-man, you got to improve your skill, but also deepen your will, since you're going against another grown man. You understand? So when you think about the pain moments, you're deepening your will. You're not improving your skill, but you're deepening your will. I remember not eating. I remember not having my mom get what she needs, and I'm taking this out on you. That's the difference in what we do, because we hand-to-hand, man-to-man combat. Most of the world, they are not, and they can't even understand it.
It's cool when it works out. But when it doesn't work out, it just gets awkward. Lionheart, Anthony Smith, was doing that with Johnny Walker. He's like, you're messing with my family. And Walker's God, what are you talking about, guys? Walker's flipping kicks up at him. Like, I don't know. Can we get a translator here? I don't know his family. I don't know.
You know what? That's right, too. You're right. In your school, you got all those different languages.
Anthony Smith.
He doesn't know if you're talking about he likes you or he hates you. He doesn't know.
He was confused. I think he was genuinely confused. He goes, wait, hold on. Can I have a time for a sec with your family? If he would have said that and beat his ass, it would have been, I guess there's a time and a place.
Well, you got to be careful to make sure. Because now, remember, each of us have at least two of us, and all of us, some have more than two. You know what I mean? So you got to know who you're going up against. You got to know how to bring the best out of you.
Yes.
People complain about athletes a lot. Like, do you think athletes today are different than they were when you played? Or is that just public perception and they're exactly the same?
No. Things change. Let's talk about it. Because really, you look at the opportunities now. But, you know, I remember coming up, man, the opportunities were not like they are now. So many opportunities, social media, everything. So you know, one of the things that my counselor and I talk about was, we talk about, like, did we really do a disservice to even our kids? Because we didn't have anything, and we worked so hard to make sure our kids didn't come up like we came up. And he said, sometimes maybe the best thing we could have given them was some struggle. We were trying to make sure that they didn't go through what we went through, but maybe we should have passed on some of our struggle to toughen them up. So yeah, I do believe that there is a difference in the athlete. I think they're way more athletic, but less, they don't have the deep well that we had. Like I watch guys come out of football games on third down, wide receivers. tapping their head. They're throwing the ball right now. You play wide receiver. Why the hell are you leaving the game? You couldn't get me to leave the game when they're throwing the ball because I had nothing. I got $25 a weekend in school, in college. $25. I had to send $10, $15 home. I lived off $10 on the weekend. You see, now these kids are driving Rolls Royces in college. You see, before they even get to the NFL, I used to go running all day and think about, man, you know, I'm a girlfriend, man, I'm a girlfriend. I'm a boy, can get me a girlfriend. When my son was playing football up the street, I would come home at the pool. They had a pool party with girls everywhere. I said, what are you doing? You can't win this way. This was supposed to be the stuff you never get until you get here. You know what I mean? Make you hungry for it. So yeah, things are changed. They're much better because we had big guys and fast guys. Now the big guy is a fast guy. The tall guy can dribble the ball all the way, bring it up the floor. We got big heavyweights moving like lightweights and bantamweight guys.
Yeah,
these dudes are athletic. These you can't ever say that the athletes today are they're way better than the athletes were. Now they don't have the same will, but they do have better skill.
It's true. You can lose some of that grit. You can lose some of that grit, and especially my sport. When I was coming up, now I was doing it because I love to fight. To be honest with you, not to sound like a psychopath. But there was now people looking into it. Like,
you sound like a psychopath.
You do. And you are a psychopath.
Right. And in your sport, boy, that's warranted. That's yeah. Good.
You do. I was, you know, so now, you know, but then again, I'm also five. I was the welterweight champion and I'm 5'6".
You're a bad man, man. You're a bad man.
So
you're
I'm up to like, these guys now, Leon Edwards, I'm up to his chin, you know? So it is how. The athletes do, they just get bigger and better, you know, in a good way. You know,
yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. I'm telling you, dude, let me tell you when I knew it was time for me to retire. I remember playing, we're in the offseason. We're playing charity basketball game. And I'm like, things are changing. I mean, first we played the Chicago Bears. Yeah. And I watched Brian Urlacher take off from the free throw. This 260-pound linebacker.
Yeah.
Oh, I said, oh, snap. This is crazy. And then we played Washington Wave. And I'm watching LeVar Arrington do 360s. I was like, these dudes are insane. You're watching guys 270 pounds. I watched Larry Allen, no joke, playing back. Watch Larry Allen take a ball under the goal, spring up, boom, dunk a basketball. The whole goal shattered. The rim fell on his head. Boom. I said, oh, my God. I grasped it. He said, what I should do, playmaker? I said, just give me this rim off your head. I said, he's bleeding, Matt. He's bleeding everywhere. I said, come on, man. Let me get you over here to the training room. I had about $3,000 in my pocket. I gave it to the young people. I said, this will cover your goal. Let me get him over here. But the athletes are incredible, man. They really are incredible because everybody starts training at 5 years old. When I went to the park at 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years old, I didn't have organized sports. You had to earn your way onto the basketball court. You remember how they used to say, well, sit down, you ain't old enough to play yet. So, you know, you ain't ready. And then when you first started playing, just get the rebound, hand us the ball. You was restricted in everything you did. They made you earn your way. Now, yeah. Everybody's in these groups and all of these clubs and everybody get this participation trophy and everybody has to play. So it takes away some of that burning desire to earn because we're giving it to everybody.
Michael, as we wrap up our final show, first of all, the most interesting, or the thing I'm shocked at the most was that Larry Allen could dunk. Like, I loved Larry Allen and as big a guy as he was. I mean, how tall is he? Was he 6'3", maybe?
Yeah, 6'3". Let me tell you one quick story, too, because Larry, first year in the Pro Bowl, right, I had told him, I said, big fella, you know, I'm trying to encourage him all. Yes, you get that Pro Bowl, I got a gift for you. Boy, I'm a gift for you. When you get in that Pro Bowl, I got something. He gets to the Pro Bowl. We go out all night long. We run all night. All night. We coming in. It's about 9 o'clock the next day. They're getting ready to go to a Pro Bowl practice. We're like, oh, God. Larry's wife, hot. She's done. She's mad. Larry, what? Larry, the wife, you've been out all night with my wife. Larry, and then that day they had a Pro Bowl challenge on the beach. Larry, out with me all night. They're benching 275 pounds for reps. Larry says to me, hey, Playmaker, my wife mad, man. I don't know what to do. I said, Big fella, they paying about $50,000 over there to the dude that can bench the most. He said, yeah, I can go win that and give that to mama. And she won't be mad. I said, yes, you can, Big fella. No joke. I think somebody had did like 40-something times. Larry went over. He said, I'll do it. He said, yeah. Well, 45, 6, 7, 8, 9, 50, 1, 52, 53, 54. He looked at me and said, you think that's enough? I said, you put it down. 55 is good. I think you're going to get that one. Hey, boy, I'm talking about one of the most phenomenal athletes I've ever met, man, was Larry Allen.
That's Michael, awesome. Are you promoting anything? I'm so happy you were our final guest of the year and so happy you could come on again. We wish you would come on more. Is there anything you want to promote?
Well, listen, what I love is this right here, what we get a chance to do and how blessed we are to talk sports. You know what I mean? So the one thing I do want to promote is I want to talk to people like us more. I get on one of the social media sites, so I want to promote The Stunt. The Stunt. The Stunt is... It's an app, a social media site that's for us. Sport. Let me tell you why. Because I get talking about sports on all these other with social media, and everybody want to bring in all this other mess and stuff. I just want to talk sports. This ain't got nothing to do with who I'm voting for. This ain't no. Can we just talk sports? And nowadays, everything you say becomes something, and people try to take it and make something else out of it. So I'm like, can we just talk sports? And yes, we can on The Stunt. Just got to get that out. Go to The Stunt and you can see. It's us. It's what we do. And I love all sports. So I love talking all sports and how we pull the best out of each man within that sport.
The Stunt. Michael, thank you. Again, always, I could talk to you for 2 hours. We love having you on. And just come back a little more often next year and have a great new year, please. And we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Man, appreciate you guys, man. Thanks for having me on all the time, man. I love this. I love UFC. I love what you guys do. I love Dana White. I appreciate him. I told Dana, man, I'm so happy when all that COVID thing, he was the first one jumped back out here. That's what I also talked about. I want to make sure I catch the next. I want to go to a fight in Dubai. You know what I mean? I want to go see that. Because I want to know what that's like. I was going to Dubai during COVID. And then they told me, no, don't go. Because right when COVID hit, I had already had plans and I never had a chance to go. So now I'm waiting and I want to go over with the UFC. That'd be the best.
I recommend it. It's beautiful. I recommend it.
Right. I want to see it, man. Thanks for having me, man. And Happy New Year to all you guys. Man.
Happy New Year, sir. The great Michael Irvin, one of my favorite people. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you next year.
Thank you, guys, man. Make sure we talk. All right, guys. Okay. All right, Tim. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Michael. Take care, legend.
Great. What a nice guy. I mean, is there anybody better than Michael Irvin? I mean, just I could literally talk to him all day.
Such a warm, warm guy, Jimmy. And thanks also to Kevin Nioli. Hey, Jimmy. Yes. Who's going to say it first? See you next year.
But I'll talk to you before then. Thank you to Jake and all the guys. You guys work really hard and you make this happen every week. We really do appreciate what you do. And the people who book for the UFC, who get our guests, it all runs smoothly. All Matt and I have to do is just show up and fucking talk and the prep sheet is there. And so thank you to guys behind the scenes. You really do make our jobs possible. I know that sounds corny, but it's the truth.
Jimmy, what do you want to plug for the
final? Just jimnorton.com. I'm on tour. New Jersey is almost sold out. Connecticut's selling very well. I got about 10 dates and many more going up. And if you want to see me and my wife interacting, Nikki and Jim NYC on YouTube. That's what my personal life is like.
Hey, that's so beautiful. I can't wait to watch your show. And Jimmy, also you're on the latest Whitney Cummings podcast. So
Nikki and I do an interview together. It's our first interview on Whitney and people seem to like it. So yeah, thanks, Matt.
And I'm going to go. I just want to promote. If you guys got time over there, I have no horses in the race here, but go watch that Rebel Moon. They should make more movies like this. They're shitting on it.
poor Zack Snyder puts his heart and soul into this thing. If you like any bit of Star Wars, but you're sick of how they're making it so woke and stupid, watch this, because it's fucking hardcore. And I enjoy shit like that. And I like them making more stuff that I enjoy.
All right, definitely.
happy New Year, Jimmy.
You too, Matt. Happy New Year. I'll talk to you in a couple of days. And thank you guys behind the scenes, Jake and all you guys. And we will talk to you soon. And of course, the UFC Unfiltered listeners, we really do appreciate
it. Unfiltered Army. Say it right. The Unfiltered Army.
Unfiltered Army. Thank you, guys. Unfiltered
Army. Go watch Rebel Moon and watch Jimmy at the Fat Black Pussycat.
Not till January. I'm there.
Not till January. Bye, everybody. Happy New Year.
Join me, Dr. Panico, with Cyndi Lauper and Chef Michelle Bernstein to talk about plaque psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis, the potential connection and risk of developing permanent joint damage.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB, serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. It may lower your ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com/Cindy.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.